Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. I can't wait for that day. Amen? I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, hey, death is coming on quick. I'm ready to go. I tell you, I got diabetes. I fell down the other day. My body's been aching and paking all week. I am ready for heaven, praise the Lord. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Would you say power with me, please? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, knowing that you are mighty, knowing that you have a plan for each one of us here in this church today. And Lord, we want to lift up your name. Lord, we want to know your plans for us. We want to know the power, Lord, that you would release in each one of us, Lord. We want to see incredible, drastic transformation happen in each one of us. Can I get a witness on that? Lord, I am saying, come to me today, Lord. I'm saying, come to this church, Lord. Come and meet us, Lord, and we would give you an open door. Come into my heart, Lord, and transform me, and I'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Yes. Talking about my body kind of breaking down. Yesterday, I made a pilgrimage to Rite Aid. Old men go to Rite Aid. Can I get a witness on that? And what do old men get at Rite Aid? Prescriptions filled. And I was going there, you know, I was down to my last pill, you know, and I'm, oh, man, I got to get there. I got to make sure I get there before it closes. And I'm driving up, you know, and it's, and I don't know what time, I don't know what time the pharmacy closes there, but I'm thinking 5 o'clock on Saturday could be a close down. So it's like 5:10, and I'm rolling up and I'm trying to get there before it closes. And I see this mom, maybe looked like a vet, somebody kind of like that. And she got these three little boys, man, like 3 years old, 4 years old, and 5 year old. And they're like, got like a, she looked like a chicken with three chicks just following right after her, you know. And I'm pulling in this spot, and I got my time, and she jumps in, right, and she opens that back door, and I'm like, oh, man, I got three kid seats to deal with here, you know. And but the boys, they like stand right there at the edge of the concrete. That's interesting, you know. And so I'm pulling in, and the mom looks up at me, right, and she grabs this water bottle from the back seat and slams the door shut. Wow, that's kind of weird. And she jumps back, and two of the boys are just at attention, man. They're just, like, focused, zoned in, right? And I see this other boy, maybe the youngest boy, and he's just kind of doing this thing, right? And I'm going, oh, man, I want to run over this little three-year-old who's kind of losing it, right? But he just jumps right, and he just lock stop, man. They are like three guys in the army. So I'm driving in, man. I got my 5 minutes to get my thyroid medicine, man. I pop in there, and I hop out, and she is holding out that water, right? And it's like the boys are going, come on, come on, come on. And I'm serious, man. This is focused. This is energized. This is ready to go, right? And she's pouring the water out, and she's going, wash them, wash them, wash them. And they're like, as hard as they can, they are washing their hands. And I am thinking, what is going on here? I mean, this is just, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Old men go to Rite Aid for prescription, but young boys, They go to Rite Aid for ice cream. And I look on the hood, right? And there's ice creams all lined up. Like, come on, Mom, let us wash our hands, because we know what comes after washing our hands. Ice cream time. Right? We talk about the plan of God. And God has something so much better in store for you than ice cream. And he's saying, as he says today, we're reading these opening verses, line up. I got something for you. I got power from on high. And Jesus talking about power being turned, being let out on these guys, power on purpose, power in the lives of his apostles, of his disciples, of men that had chosen to follow him. We read these opening lines of the book of Acts, and he says, in my second book, you know, there wasn't even a title for this book. You know, it didn't come about for 100 years until Irenaeus, a church father, started calling it the book of Acts. It was just the second volume of the Gospel of Luke. And there is various interpretations. Many would say that it's the Act of the Apostles. And others would say that it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And what I believe would be a great title for this book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Can I get a witness on that? Because these men were transformed in their existence by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is, as we talk about this series, being touched by God, we talk about lives that are transformed because of the touch of God in their lives. And some of you today have been transformed by the touch of God in your life. Amen? Some of you come in here today going, oh, if I could just be touched by God. If I could just experience that transformation, I would do whatever it takes. God has power. He uses that power for a purpose. These men became a focus point for the power of God. We're going on this series, being touched by God. The apostles were touched by God, and you can be touched by God. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He would do. He is willing to do. He is desirous to do a great work through you. The question is whether or not you want that to happen, whether or not you want that to be released in you and through you, or whether or not you're just looking for God to throw a little ice cream your way. I just want to keep on doing what I've been doing and just give me a little ice cream. My question for you this morning is, what do you want God to do? Do you want to be transformed by God? Do you want to pursue the power of God? Do you want to wait for the power of God? Because you can be touched by God. The title of today's message is Power on Purpose. God will empower you for a purpose. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a look. We're going to go through these 8 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, that means blessed by God, touched by God. I would pray that we could just walk around going high five to each other and go call ourselves Theo. Right? Theophilus. We're all touched by God. Amen? We're all blessed by God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And Jesus made a change. Jesus made a change in the lives of his apostles. And it was a change that started in Jesus and was continued on by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Luke is what he is talking about. And it talked about all kinds of mighty things that God did. Raising people from Lazarus from the dead. Raising Tabitha, the little girl, from the dead. Talking about all kinds of miracles and healing lepers and blind people and all kinds of stuff. Feeding the 5,000, walking on water, all kinds of incredibly mighty things. But he also talks about how Jesus poured his life into 12 men. Talked about all that Jesus started to do and started to teach. There were 4 fishermen out of those 12 apostles. There was a tax collector. There was a zealot. There was a guy who was all fired up. We don't know what the other ones were. But whatever they were transformed by the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And what Jesus is talking about is whatever transformation had already happened in these 12 men, now 11, because Judas had betrayed Jesus and had killed himself. That whatever had happened in the lives of those 11 men, another transformation was getting ready to take place. A transformation by the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those men. And not just those 11, but 120 that gathered in an upper room and waited for God to touch their lives. And I'm wondering this morning is, do you want God to touch your life? Do you want to be transformed? Because God changed those men. And God changed, the Holy Spirit changed Jesus. Take a look at that. Talks about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to those apostles he had chosen. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the apostles preparing to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Let me show you. We see the Holy Spirit in the baptism, the water baptism of Jesus. Go back to Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus got baptized too. But what was unique, he says, Jesus was baptized, and as he was praying, heaven was opened. Hallelujah. Can I get a... That'd be cool. And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. Not a dove, but like a dove. As Luke is reading that, and he talked to the other people around them about what was happening, what was going on, he says, man, it looked like a dove came down from heaven, and heaven split open, and a voice came down from heaven, says, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And what we see here is God the Son, in the form of Jesus Christ, being baptized. We see God the Father speaking from heaven, and we see God the Holy Spirit coming down in a bodily form and doing something, imparting something to Jesus. Now, Jesus would have been around 30 years old when this happened. He had lived 30 years prior to this day. And as he started his ministry, there was something that the Holy Spirit did in his life that equipped him and empowered him and prepared him to have the impact that he did as he walked this world. Can I get a witness? Are you following me on that? Are you following me? Do you see that? Right? Jesus lived 30 years, and then his ministry started. When it started with baptism, the Father speaks from heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him in a unique way. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Also talks, Paul talks about Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Talks about, let me see where I'm at here. We can ask ourselves a question. If Jesus is fully God the Son, why would he need anything from the Holy Spirit? Did you maybe wonder that? Hey, wait a minute. Are you preaching heresy up there? Wait a minute. Let's rewind here. Paul tells us that for Jesus to hang on a cross and pray for your sins and make that sacrifice on the cross, that he was eternally God, pre-existed. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen? Paul tells us that for Jesus to come and walk this world among us, he had to make a great sacrifice. Let's take a look at that sacrifice, which is right here. Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Who, talking about Jesus, Jesus being in very nature God. Are you tracking with me? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay. Don't get hung up on this. Some of you do know what I'm talking about, and I want to make something clear to you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come and talk to me afterward and we can describe this, okay? Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Right? Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Now, there's some little kids back there. Sandra, you got a little kid? Hold that kid up, would you? Sandra.
Can't hear you.
Why can't she hear you?
I don't know.
Can you hear me back there? Can you hear me, Sandra?
No.
Turn the mains up a little bit more, Mike. Just the mains. A little bit more. You got to let me know when you can't hear me back there. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Louder, louder, louder. Can you hear me now? Now it's too loud, bro. A little bit less. There we go. Now, can you hear me now? All right, lift that baby up. Either one. There you go. See that baby? Jesus was once that old. Amen? Now, if you notice, that guy was a little thick around the pants. He got a diaper on. You know, Jesus made such a sacrifice that even though the Bible tells us that everything that was created through him, that he surrendered, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, that he had to learn how to go to the bathroom, just like that little boy back there does. That Jesus, as he grew up, he got sick, he got a cold. Scott got a cold last week. Maybe there's a bunch of kids gone today because they got a cold last week. You know, Jesus surrendered much to make a sacrifice for you on the cross. Amen? And as the time for his ministry to begin came, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily fashion and empowered him and made him more than he was. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about here? Let's go back to the very first thing that Jesus did. He opened the scroll of Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Right? He read from Isaiah and he rolled it up, and at the end he said, today this is happening in your presence. You know that part? He says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I do not know what the ministry of Jesus Christ would have been like without the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life. Can I get a witness on that? Right? I don't know. We can ask ourselves, what would have happened? Could he have raised the dead? Could he have walked on water? Could he have fed the 5,000 without the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, we're never going to know the answer to that question, because he moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed the 5,000. He caused people to see. He caused the lame to walk. He cleansed lepers. Amen?
Amen?
By the power of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is talking about and what we are talking about in this series, being touched by God, is that power would become available to the apostles. My question for you this morning is, do you want it? Are you interested in the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in you? You know, I was driving around this week and something bad happened. Some of you might be able to relate. Check engine lights. How many of you guys have seen that in your cars? It's always a bad feeling. Amen. All right, girls, you can hear me now. I need you to focus. Sandra. There you go. Jackie, I don't know. You ain't got no little kids. You don't need to be back there. You can't hear me? Oh, she felt dizzy. All right. Okay. Come on up here. Get that power, girl. There you go. Anyway, I'm driving around, and I got the check engine light. I'm going, oh, no, no. You know, I got to tune up. The thing has really run rough ever since I've had it. I got to do all this work. And so yesterday I was doing some stuff and I said, I'm going to take a look at my car. Check the oil. 2 quarts low, not even on the dipstick. You know what they call that light? They call that an idiot light. It's kind of like your car's going, idiot, what are you doing driving around the oil in the engine? So I put some oil in there, reset everything, and it's just cranking. But you know what? Some of us walk around the check engine light on our hearts. Because we're running around and we are lacking being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Right. We're walking around with a check soul light on. Check your soul. Check what's going on in your soul, because you're walking around with a whole lot less than you should have. And you need to come on in, and you got to get filled up. Amen? 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 We're talking about being touched by God. Point number two, possibilities for power. We talk about living in power. We're talking about the possibilities for power. And that's what Jesus is going to start describing to his apostles. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The promise of the Father. He is saying, man, you know what? The Father has promised this gift of power to you over and over again. We can see that many times. I grab two. 400 B.C., the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 says, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. That is the promise of God that he is going to do something new. And transformed people has always been part of the program of God. Amen? Let's roll back 200 more years, 600 years B.C. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. And he says, and what Jesus is saying is what has been promised is going to happen in just a few days from now. And 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his spirit. He did exactly what Ezekiel said. He did exactly what Joel said. And he did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and you will be transformed. Amen? Do you want that? Some people say, oh, that was 2,000 years ago. My question for you is, if it is available today, do you want it? Like, well, I don't know if it's available today, but if it's available today, I want it. Big Mac's on special today, I want it. I want all I can get from God. I want to be transformed in my existence. I want to see God do mighty things through me in the people's lives around me. Is that what you want? I'll give them an undivided heart. I'll put a new spirit in them. God will make a change in you. Problem. God's program has requirements. There's a lot of requirements in God's program. Here's one. Don't leave Jerusalem. You know what he was saying? He was saying, you know what? There's something that's going to happen in Jerusalem. I hope I don't get feedback on that. Oh, yeah. Are you guys hot? All right, just turn the fan on. Hey, Scott, wait a minute. Mike, give me about a 2-minute pump on that exhaust fan out there. He said there's a requirement, there's a restriction on the plan of God. And what he was saying was, is that there is something that's going to happen in Jerusalem that you can miss out on. And if you leave Jerusalem, you'll miss it. I don't want you to miss it. You know what it says? The Bible says that there was 120 believers in that upper room that were waiting up to a week for God to show up, for God to do something mighty. And you know what? Bible also tells us, and we're going to talk about this in several weeks, so the day of Pentecost comes on Memorial Day, which is like May 27th, 28th, something like that. So we're going to be talking about Pentecost for the next 5 weeks and maybe a couple weeks after that. But God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and he says, wait in Jerusalem. He says, wait in Jerusalem. There's 120 people, and everybody that was in the room got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everyone, guess what? If there was 125 there, 125 would have got baptized. If there was 130, there would have been 130. And if five guys said, you know what, we got to get some coffee, it could have only been 115. And some of us think, wait a minute. What is up with God putting restrictions on me? Be like one of them boys going, wash it, Mom, wash it, Mom, wash it. I say, Mom, I don't care about no stinking washing my hands. Give me that ice cream. You owe me that ice cream. And some of us think that way with God. Who are you, God, to tell me what to do? Wait 7 days? Come on. I'll go home. You want me to be a part of your program? You just send it my way in my house. Some of us in this room do that to God today. Holiness, come on. I want to have sex with somebody? I'm going to have sex with somebody. God just better get over it. I want to get high? I'm going to get high. God just better get over it. And I tell you what, some people think that God owes them. You can live your life that way. If you read the Bible, you will find that not to be true. You will find that you are living a lie. And you wonder why you don't experience power. It's because you're sitting over here going, God, empower me. Just don't ask me to pray. Just don't ask me to sit. Don't ask me to bow. Don't ask me to stand. Don't ask me to do anything, God, because when I'm feeling good, I'll show up for you. Show up on time. Show up at all. I don't know what you think you are, God. What do you think you are, like the creator of everything? The Bible says he is. The Bible says he owns everything, and we get to join him. And some of us feel that we will bless God and allow him to join us. And you will not see power in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. B, Bible says, baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's some confusion about this. He says, for John baptized with water. This is Jesus talking now. Okay? This is Jesus talking. Who's talking? Thank you very much. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's confusion about this. You can read about the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, specifically Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Because of that confusion, it is a focus of this series being touched by God. There was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost. On that day, 3,000 people got saved, and on that day, the church was born. On that day, what happened was they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, those 120 people that were waiting for it. Now, let me tell you something. The apostles already had the Holy Spirit. Okay? How do I say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, we read the Bible. If you go to John chapter 20. If we go to Acts chapter 1, the last thing, well, actually verse 9 says that Jesus went to heaven, right? Jesus says, in not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he goes to heaven, and an angel says, why are you looking for da-da-da-da-da? You can read that, okay? So, in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Bible says, and with that he breathed, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? If Jesus left after Acts chapter 8, right? That means he breathed on them before then. Amen? Are you tracking with me, right? It was like, well, wait a minute, you know. Like, no, Jesus breathed on them after he said that in Acts chapter 1, because in the gospel, no! He breathed on them, did some other stuff. It's a different gospel. You can read about that. Acts chapter 20. They received the Holy Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, how does that happen? If you have asked him to come into your life, if you have said, Lord, I surrender all, come into my life. You are my King. You are my God. I will follow you all the days of my life. Is that how it works?
Amen.
Is that how it works? You do that. You surrender your life to God. Paul says, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, says that you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. Right? Having believed, you become part of the family of God. And he says that you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Right? So when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in as well. And what we're talking about in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's already there. You surrendered your life, you have the Holy Spirit. The apostles, we read in the Gospel of John that they had already received the Holy Spirit. And we know that they were believers. They had seen him, right? They touched him. They were believing. Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas started believing. Now I believe, right? Remember all that stuff? So they had the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because Paul says, as soon as you believe, you get the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is talking about something different. Jesus is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about a special infilling of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Bible says God will move in your life many times. Right? How many of you have been touched in various ways by the Lord? Right? How many of you, okay, how many of you were bummed when it happened? How many of you, if I said the Lord would touch you tomorrow, right? We have the Touched by God sign-up list tomorrow. I'll show up at 9 o'clock. God will touch you. How many of you say, God's going to touch me tomorrow? I'll be here. Get what I'm saying? You say, yeah, being touched by God is a good thing, right? See, Paul said in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18, he says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And he says, and he talks about this infilling as a continuous, ongoing infilling of God. Be filled and continue to be filled, right? And so we see, I think in Jesus' ministry, we see somebody so totally synced up with God that he is just continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Right? And so and I think we got to work on that, and we get these little infusions. We get these little infusions of God. One of those infusions is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are others that God would do a miraculous work in your life. Could be healing, could be touch, prophecy, all kinds of stuff that God would do in your life and just kind of nudge you along the way. Amen? So what we're talking about is not a brownie point in your life. Oh, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm done now. No, man. It's one of many, 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 many things that God would do in your life to transform you. Let me try and make this a little bit more clear. Do you know who that guy is? That's Kenny G, right? How many of you guys heard? Anybody not know who Kenny G is? He's a sax player, all right? And he's pretty famous, right? This is a Greatest Holiday Classics. He makes a lot of money. Very famous saxophone player. What makes him so famous is this thing called circular breathing. And many people can do it. He's famous at it. He once set a record. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know, a couple years back. I think it's still going. 45 minutes. He played a continuous note. E-flat note on an alto sax, 45 minutes straight. And you're thinking, how can he hold his breath that long? He doesn't. He does this thing called circular breathing, which means he can breathe in and blow out at the same time. Cool trick, especially if you're a sax player. Amen? Because that means you can just, there's no breaks. That's why he's famous. That's what God wants you to have with the Holy Spirit. A continuous coming in and a continuous going out. And if you have that happening in your life, that you will be transformed and everybody around you will have the opportunity to be transformed. Amen? All right. We're tracking, right? All right, here we go. Point number three. See, he'll give you, there's possibilities of power in your life. You can live. Jesus lived with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's possibilities for power in your life, and God will give you power on purpose. God will give you power for a reason. God does not just pour out power just because he's got extra. He's saying, you want to do something for me? I'll hook you up. Those 120 believers in the upper room, they wanted to do something for God. You're in here today, you're saying, oh, I'll take power. I could use a little. I don't know what God's going to do for you, but you come in here today and say, God, I am your vessel. I am your servant. You empower me. Lord, I will take all that power and I will work for you. I'll tell you what, you can expect a little charge coming your way. Amen? Amen. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. See, that was the purpose of that baptism. You're going to be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's why I'm going to empower you, because you're going to do a work for me. Make sense? All kinds of power from God. There is all kinds of power from God from on high. I had all kinds of texts that I was going to share with you. I just didn't have enough time to bring it. I mean, take a look at Samson, Gibeon, all these guys in the Old Testament. David was empowered. Saul, even King Saul, was empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, to do mighty things. God's plan has always been to transform his people and enable them to do mighty works for him. Amen? Even out of the second to last row. Even in the overflow. We see on the day of Pentecost an empowerment of the disciples. 3,000 people are converted on that day. And what we see on the day of Pentecost, the church is born, and on the day of Pentecost, the church is pushing back the gates of hell. You want that to happen around you? You're going to need the power of God to make that happen. Jesus walked this world and he pushed back the kingdom of darkness because he had the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he pushed that back. And what Jesus is saying, not the same power, but something like it would be available to us so that we could indeed push back the gates of hell. We just talked about Easter. We talked about the impact that Jesus could have in your life, in the lives of those people around you. We talked about his death and resurrection. We talked about his death on the cross to set you free from a life of sin. That is the part of the transformation in your life. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do in your life is break the bonds of sin in your life. Have you experienced that? Are you moving in that? Some of you have power because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not really implementing it all because you still have sin grasping around your ankles. You're still messing around with stuff that you shouldn't be messing around with. Question for you today, what do you want from God? Do you want more from him? He says to these believers, he says, don't leave Jerusalem. And some of them might have said, well, I got a trip planned. They would have missed out. Nothing to say they couldn't have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit down the road, but they would have not received it on the day of Pentecost. Question for you today, are you willing to wait a week? They waited for a week in an upper room, 120 of them, and said, Lord, send your Spirit. Send the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. Do a work in us. Those boys lined up for ice cream. Mom, wash our hands because we want the ice cream. See, there's that element of lining up. There's that element of attention. There's that element of doing what mom asks. And then there's that which follows. My question is, are you willing to do what God is asking you to do, or do you just think if it's too much of a hassle? God, you're hassling me here. Because if that's what you're thinking, you're not going to get a change. God will make a change in you. You'll be my witnesses. What are you willing to do for God? You know, Natty had been terrified about teaching. Now she's a teacher. Some of you are terrified. Mike back there running the soundboard said, be bold on that thing. So I'm a little timid. God will do a mighty thing in you. Guy showed up today, Carlos. Some of you know him. Some of you don't. Played some music downstairs so that the Spanish class could just start off downstairs and not have to come up here and listen to singing in English. How many of you would love to come up here and sing in Japanese? I might miss worship, Pastor. So how big of a blessing is that? Be able to show up and worship. He says, you'll be my witnesses. You'll be living for my glory. We see it at the Gate Beautiful. Peter and John one day going into the temple at the time of prayer, right? And they see a guy begging, and they say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Hallelujah. Now, did he do that for his own gain? No. He did it for the gain of the guy who was sitting there with no legs or busted legs or lame legs. He'd been there every day. He was born lame. God transformed his life. How? Through Peter and John. My question for you today is, do you want to be an agent of transformation for our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice your plans and your desires for your life and pick up his plans and his desires and say, Lord, here I am, your servant. Empower me. I would be an agent of change. I would be a witness for you. Amen? See, Joe, every week, or 5 days a week, they're lifting. Went to a football meeting the other day, and they're lifting, and they lift Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they can even go on Saturdays and lift. They've been doing that since football ended. And, you know, they have got volunteer coaches, volunteers there before school, during seventh period, and after school. Three different groups of boys working with them so that they can get stronger. And they're working with them for one reason. Joe's working out. God A boy Josh is working out. Not so much so that they can be strong. Well, I guess the boys are. But the coaches are working so that they can become better football players. I don't know that those coaches would be there 3 times a day, 5 days a week, if the boys just wanted to look pretty. The coaches have a bigger vision than the boys looking pretty. God has a bigger vision than just your power. God wants to do something mighty in your life and through you. Question is, are you willing? Are you ready? Do you want to be part of it? If it is available today, is that what you want for your life? We talked about what was available on the day of Easter a couple weeks back. Paul said, and this is my prayer for you this morning, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which you have been called and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I pray you know that. I also pray that you would know his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is like the power he used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. What do you want today? Lisa's going to come up and she's going to sing. Some of you come in here today, and the idea of lining up before the Lord and saying, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want, I'll do that. My life has been so tore up. Some of us came into this very church just used up and tossed aside by the world. And Jesus says, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new hope. I'll give you a new heart. And many of you have said, I want that in my life. I want to be transformed. I'm tired of being a human discard. I want to pray right now just for a minute. You come in here this morning and you feel like that. You feel like a human discard. Your life sounds like that car starting out there just whining and grinding. It's just all tore up. And you come in here this morning and you say, Lord, if I can be new, if I can be changed, if I can be transformed, Lord, I'll give you my life. Nobody looking around. And that's you this morning. You're saying, God, if you are here this morning, and if I can really have a new life in you. I'm not talking about being empowered. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. I'm talking about a surrender in a new life in Christ. That Holy Spirit would come and live in you. As Paul said, that having believed, that you heard the message of the cross today, that you would say, Lord, I believe. I'll give you my life. I want the Holy Spirit to seal me, to make me new, to break the chains of sin in my life. That's you this morning. Nobody's looking around. And you're saying, oh, I so want that. I'm not looking back. Lord, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run to you. I came running hard. I came running hard. You're here this morning saying, Lord, I want that. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, here I am, Lord. Somebody would say that. Say, here I am, Lord. I want to know you in a mighty way. Here. Right there. Anybody else would say, here I am, Lord. I want to know that. Right there. Amen. Anybody else say, here I am this morning. Right there. Right there. Right there. Amen. Right there, girl. Right there. Yeah. Right there, bro. I see that. You can put your hand down, bro. Anybody else? Say, yeah, that's what I want. Lord Jesus, these who have raised their hands here this morning, Lord, that have said, Lord, I want that new start. I want that new life. Lord, I give you my all, Lord. As I give you my all, I want your all. I want that new life. Rain down upon me. Lord, I want to live a life of sin. I don't want to look back anymore. I want to look forward. I want to have a new life, a new hope, and a new future in you. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, all right, one last thing. You're here this morning, and you have already done that in your life. And you have seen transformation after transformation. You've seen the bonds of sin broken in your life. And you've seen the Holy Spirit's change, and you have a desire for the things of God. But as I talk about this empowering, this transformation in the life of the believer, this power on purpose, and you're saying, you know, I never realized that that was available for me. I didn't realize that there was more that God would do in my life. And we're not per se so much talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking about that. But what we are talking about is a willingness in your life, in the life of the believer, to say, God, if there is more, Lord, if you would use me in a more tangible way, if there is that which I am holding back from you in my life, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. As those believers gathered on the day of Pentecost and they just waited for days and for a week to say, Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. Empower us, Lord, to have a great impact in the lives around us, Lord. If that's you this morning, you'd say, Lord, I want that in my life. I want to know you in a new way. I want to avail myself to you for your plans, for your righteousness, for your program, Lord. I want to line up just like them boys getting that ice cream the other day and say, Lord, whatever it is you want. Whatever it is you want. If I got to get cleaned up, if I got to get in line, if I got to stand at attention, Lord, whatever you want from me. You know, I didn't realize, God. I didn't realize. I thought church was it. Folks, I tell you today, there's a whole lot more than church. There's a whole lot more than church. And right here this morning, you're saying, Lord, I want all there is. I want all there is. We're going to sing. You want more from God. And something akin to what the disciples did, 120 in that upper room, they waited. I would invite you as we sing to just come and make an altar up here and just kneel and say, Lord, if there's more, if there's more, Lord, I want it all. If there's impact I can make in my life, Lord, I want to do it. If there's a testimony that I can bring, Lord, I want to do it. If there's a witness that I can be, I want to do it. I want your power. Whatever it looks like, whatever it is, I trust you. We're going to be talking about this in the coming weeks, but in the same way that the disciples gathered and just waited and waited and waited, this is an act by which you say, Lord, here I am. I am a willing servant. Teach me, train me, use me, empower me. I'm your boy. I'm your girl. I am your servant. So as we sing this song, we're all just going to stand. We're going to sing this and kind of just close in this song. But you want that to happen in your life. I just invite you to come forward and just kneel and just say, Lord, here I am. This is a display in my life, Lord, that I want to be transformed by you. Hallelujah. Amen? Go ahead and sing for it. 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 Go ahead and sing for it.